2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. You could also listen to us on your smart speaker. Also visit the website, thesportscast.net. You could also listen to our 24/7 radio and also our Twitter. Go to the Sportscast One. We have our latest updates there from sports scores, the latest breaking news. And of course, check out our app, the Sportscast. You get notifications of anything going on. And of course, Deshaun Watson, that's always going to be a speculative news story in the next upcoming days. Anyways, today's show, we're previewing you the Premier League football, the real football that is played in England. And we have Garrett Franks today, which we had him a few months ago back in March. Now he's back. Garrett, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. It's been a long time, but I'm excited to be back.
Garrett, give us a quick update. Where have you been up to these past 6 months?
Yeah, so I'm still the sports director of our student radio station at the University of Alabama. That's been such a privilege and honor to serve in that role. I also, this past summer, had the privilege of calling college softball games for the FGCL, a summer softball league, which was such a great experience. Learned a lot, not only about broadcasting, but just life. So that was definitely a great time. And so I've been up to that. I'm excited for this upcoming fall semester at the University of Alabama. Hopefully I'll get a chance to call some more women's basketball and hopefully some soccer stuff for the university.
There you have it. Bama guy. And he'll probably be on our college big show this upcoming weeks. The college football season starts in first week of September. So looking forward to it. And NIH style, I guess you can say, but we'll say that for later. Anyways, the Premier League, the best league in the world, I call it. Some people say La Liga or other leagues, but Premier League is the biggest league in England, maybe in the world. My team is Liverpool. Garrett, tell us your background with the Premier League and your favorite club that you support.
Yeah, so I mean, much like most Americans, my first introduction to soccer really came through FIFA. And I remember, I'll never forget, I was sitting in my basement playing FIFA with my friends. Everyone's choosing their teams. And I decided somehow, because I love James Ward-Prowse so much on FIFA Ultimate Team, I'm going to go with Southampton. So Southampton's been my team for the past 5 to 6 years. There's been some struggle seasons. There's some seasons where we finished top. You know, we had the top five finish in 2015, which was awesome. Then we've had the season, I believe, in 2017, where we almost got relegated. So now we're just kind of a mid-table team. So that's been very interesting to kind of watch from that perspective and watch. I think it brings a different perspective when you watch other teams do stuff, whether it's with transfers or whether it's with just tactics, because you think of it from a mid-table perspective. So it's a really interesting perspective to talk about it when it comes to like Liverpool and Man City, these huge, ginormous clubs.
Yeah, so my team, Liverpool, finished second place last season. Manchester City won the league by 1 point. It went to the final weekend of the season, and we had to depend on, I believe it was Crystal Palace, to beat Man City, and that they were leading 1 or 2-1 or something at a certain point, but Man City's deep bench came back and won the game at 3-2. This season could be very similar. Man City and Liverpool are the favorites. Man City got Haaland as their new striker. Liverpool got Darwin Nunez to replace Mane. Of course, we got Luis Diaz as well. So we got a okay bench. Now, this season for Liverpool is no Mane, but we got two players that could supplement that spot. And, of course, we got Mohamed Salah, which he resigned extension with Liverpool. So that's a good sign for the Reds. First question for this preview, Garrett, can anyone else win the league title besides Liverpool and Man City?
Yes, but it's not going to happen. I mean, if I was a betting man, the only team that I think has a chance right now are obviously kind of the big six. Are only five of those big six teams. I think Man United, we'll talk about that a little bit later, isn't really in that conversation. But I think it's squarely Liverpool and Man City right now. I think Tottenham has done a lot in this past transfer window that I liked. Getting guys like Rick Carlson, I think, is a really good signing. I believe they got him for about $60 million. So I think good value. And then Arsenal. Arsenal this year is a team that I'm super excited to watch. Obviously, they're up right now against Crystal Palace, if I'm correct. I saw they had a header. Yeah, and there's some players on there that I'm so excited to watch. But one of them being Gabriel Jesus. I think Gabriel Jesus could be a guy who we've seen in a Man City. He's good for about 15 goals a season. And now that he's the main guy at Arsenal, I'm really excited to see him compete in the Golden Boot Challenge, to be honest. And I'm excited to see what he has to offer. I think they have some great other transfers, which I will talk about a little later when we talk about our kind of top five standouts, which I have a player that I'm super excited about for Arsenal. But I still think it's a two-dog race right now with Tottenham kind of being that middle area. Chelsea's another team, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but I think they have some issues right now they need to figure out. And I think they have an identity crisis, to be honest, on what type of team they're going to be this upcoming season.
Yeah, I would say the possibilities for anyone to win outside of Liverpool, Man City is pretty low. I say Liverpool, which I will say my top four later in the show. I think Liverpool is hungry again. They did well during the transfer period. Man City got Haaland. We'll see what happens there. And if I had to name one team for an outside shot, it would be Tottenham. Coach Conte, I believe, in theory, looking at like the past data, usually season two of that new club he's with usually does better. They kind of merge. They got Richarlison, of course. And yeah, we'll see what happens. Is Richarlison a good pick for Tottenham?
I mean, it depends on the Richarlison you get. I mean, I think watching sometime we saw, I don't know if you watched much of their preseason action. I believe they did an Asia tour and he looked decent at times, but he has that Brazilian flair to him, which can be really awesome, but could also be very dangerous at times. You know, I believe he almost got into a fight with the team. I believe it was maybe Roma. They almost got into a fight with. So if they can keep his temper down and kind of keep him level headed, I think he's good for 15 goals, which is already dangerous when you have Son and you already have Harry Kane.
Join us all the way from Las Vegas, Andrew Evans, Burnley fan. Welcome to the Sportscast.
How you doing, guys?
Good, doing good. Well, meet Garrett. Of course, you know
Garrett,
me.
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Andrew.
Nice shirt.
Yeah, thank you.
Andrew is a England fan and also a Burnley fan. Andrew, tell us your brief history of soccer.
Oh, my goodness. First memories, 3 years old, 4 years old. I don't know. I mean, I lived in England in that time of my life, so grew up on it, you know. Looking at Garrett's shirt, I'm thinking about a 1977 version I got. I think it was made by Admiral. My brother got the white one with blue and red, and I got the red one with blue and white. And those things used to itch. They weren't comfortable. They weren't made out of the silky stuff. That kind of came in a little bit later. That was an early Christmas memory. Getting an England shirt. Didn't take it off for about a week.
Hey, I can switch to my USMNT jersey if you'd like me to.
No, I like it. Yeah. Now, so just been an avid fan all my life, you know. Went to my first game in probably about 1977 and at Burnley. They weren't a first division team at that point. I think they got relegated the year before. But, yeah, just been a big follower ever since and loved the game. Even before it was popular.
In America, where you had to watch pay-per-view to watch the games.
Yeah, I remember the first or second season of the Premier League. I was in the States, and it was a once-a-week kind of magazine show that we got somebody to record it. I was living in Minnesota at the time, and we got this guy to record it and bring it into work. So we were watching it, like, by, I think, Tuesday night was the fastest we could get the highlights of the Premier League. In the early days, it's come a long way.
Wow. There you have it. So, Andrew, we were discussing, can anyone else win the league besides Liverpool and Man City? Garrett says, not really. What is your answer?
Yeah, I mean, it's slim chance. It's funny you ask this. I actually watched a pretty interesting documentary last weekend about Brian Clough and Nottingham Forest. It's well worth a view. If you don't know much about him, he was just a very ahead of his time. He kind of knew how to handle media as a coach, and he was controversial, but really funny guy. And Nottingham Forest did it in 1978. And then Aston Villa won it in 81, which two teams that were not fancied. And it just got me thinking about this question. Could somebody else do it right now? I'd say it'd be really hard, but I got a feeling it's going to be closer than maybe last year. And there was the other year when Liverpool and City were so far ahead. It's unlikely, but it's not impossible. I mean, if you know, you just get that string of results together and the top two maybe lose a few more than they have the last couple of years, and it could happen. But I give it like a 5 to 10% chance.
I gave it 1% Tottenham. That's my answer.
Well, they'd be the team I'd look out for. I feel like they brought some good guys in, and obviously Conte, he did this at Chelsea. I don't think anyone fancied them that season. What were their odds that season? And they won it. That was a surprise. So who back against him doing well? I feel they'll come top three, but I'm not sure what Garrett thinks.
Yeah, I have them top three. I have actually Liverpool topping this year. Me just too. The vivid memory I have is not really just outside the transport, just seeing Mo Salah and all those guys walking off the pitch after losing to Real Madrid. I was like, this team's going to come out hungry. And we've seen that, we've seen that preseason. They looked very good against Man City. Darwin Nunez, their over 80 million euro signing, who I'm incredibly excited to see in the Prem this season. He looks really good. And I think he's going to acclimate so much quicker from what we've seen than Haaland will at Man City. Even though I love Haaland and I think he'll do great at Man City as well. I just have a lot more trust in Jurgen Klopp right now, to be honest.
Well, he has managed to get players hitting the ground running a little faster than Pep, which is a fair, it's not a criticism of Pep. I think these, it's like Grealish. I feel like he was starting to get the best towards the end of the season, but it's taken him a couple of years. And I agree. I think Haaland will score goals this year. But I just notice everyone that Klopp brings in, it seems like week two, they're already like seen as one of the best two or three players they have. So I agree with that analysis.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, yeah, go ahead, Garrett.
I mean, you also have to look at what Man City's lost. I mean, they lost Gabriel Jesus. They lost Raheem Sterling, which we'll talk about with Chelsea. I mean, you lost consistently 30 goals a season, and you're bringing in Haaland to expect to get, he's not going to get 30 goals a season. So there's going to be some type of drop off there at least. I mean, I'm still not 100% sold on Grealish being a top tier Prem guy. And I think we'll see what Phil Foden becomes. I like Phil Foden a lot more than Grealish, to be honest, but it'll be really excited to see what this Man City team looks like.
Andrew, closing the thoughts on Man City.
It's fair, but the thing is, as well, we've seen with City that even when they're not playing at their best, they could still win 10 in a row. So that's the kind of issue. It could just be another year where both of them dominate and they're almost impossible to beat. I just feel it will be Liverpool who'll net together just a little bit quicker than City this year. And their determination, they're a bit more machine-like to me. I think I prefer watching City by far, but I think City will just have a few more. They're the team to beat. The 2 years, running it three times in a row is really, really difficult. Two's hard enough. So that's just kind of why I favor Liverpool over City this year. They'll just have a little bit more.
We have a comment from Facebook. Gregory Openforte asks, guys, this year is almost a crapshoot, but with the World Cup in Qatar in November, December, and throw in the Champions League, things can change very quickly. Andrew, your thoughts on that?
I think it is a bit of an unknown, but I've always felt like the general rule of thumb has been that players are tired at the end of the season, and that's why the World Cup just kills them. And then the next season, you'll see a lot of injuries in the top sides. Well, that excuse should be gone because, the players should be at their prime in November, so it should be good for the World Cup. How they'll react to that afterwards, maybe that's where we'll start to see a few more injuries. But
yeah, I think this season's going to be so interesting because I think you have to think of it as almost in two seasons. And I think the crazy thing about this being one season that those results from the first season are going to carry over to the second season. With a month-long break, you have to kind of treat it like that. I think that's where it leaves teams like Everton in such an interesting position, because Everton's bottom five after, you know, going into Qatar, I don't see them getting out of that bottom five area. And then that's where you start getting worried about relegation, and which, just to think about 5 years ago, Everton might be on the brink of relegation. It's just insane. So I think you have to really treat it this season much differently and much more delicately. And that's where you're going to see a lot of rotation. You're going to see teams with the depth really kind of rise above the cream, the rise of the cream of the crop here this season.
Good point on Everton, Garrett. Your thoughts on Everton, Andrew? I know they were a point at relegation between Burnley and Leeds, but what do you think is going to happen to them this season?
I think they'll do slightly better. I don't think they'll be involved. One thing I was impressed with them was how they actually handled that pressure for two reasons. Like Garrett's just saying, that they're not used to being down there. They also had a coach in Lampard who'd done all right at Chelsea, but it was a new experience for him being in. I thought they handled it actually pretty darn well. If you look at their results over the last, because I remember from a Burnley point of view, we were constantly trying to get above them and we just couldn't. They had a really good form. Now, I know they've lost a couple of attacking players, which would be a worry to me, but they've also strengthened defensively. And I think they're going to be strengthening more in the next couple of weeks. Their biggest worry is going to be goals without Calvert-Lewin again. He's out for 6 weeks, I think. I think that they'll have enough this year. I think defensively they'll be better. They're not going to set the league alight, but I feel like they won't be right down in the bottom like this last season.
A couple of clubs had some huge additions to their squad. One of them was Arsenal with Gabriel Jesus and Chelsea with Raheem Sterling. Garrett, which of these two clubs will do the best?
I think Arsenal. I know it's every single preseason, everyone gets so excited about Arsenal, then they always finish outside Europe or they barely make Europa Conference. But no, this is the year, I'm telling you. This is the year I think they finish top four. I think Arsenal will be making Champions League this year. And I think Gabriel Jesus will be a big part of it. I think he's been someone who's been undervalued his whole career, really, at Man City, not getting the respect he deserves. Now that he's moving over to Arsenal for about 30 million pounds, if I'm correct, it's going to be his team. And I think it's going to be really great to have him as their nine. And I'm calling it. I think they'll be top four. And I think Gabriel Jesus will be in the race for the Golden Boot this season.
Andrew, Arsenal with Gabriel Jesus or Chelsea with Raheem Sterling?
I'm still liking Chelsea a little better, I think. I agree with Garrett on the impact. I think Arsenal are in a good position. If you look at their, in terms of how much they've improved under Arteta, I was impressed with them last season at times. They still had their bad days, but they're definitely a rebuilding. And I just think they just need to feel that momentum a little more, and that's enough for them. I think Jesus is great. I think his head goes down a little bit for me. I feel like Pep was putting up with him. He knows he's going to get goals out of him, but he let him go. And I think he's got a lot to prove. He could have a great season. I wouldn't bet on it, though. I feel like he'll score a lot, but he won't have a Harry Kane kind of season. Whereas I think Chelsea's buys look, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Sterling in that he's just a bit of a mercenary for me, but there's some other good, but they've just picked up this Brighton guy, haven't they? Who's a good defender. I feel like Chelsea will improve this season. Actually, they had that weird thing after the whole Ukraine and, you know, with their owner. I feel like they'll be a bit more stable this year and probably do better. That's just my gut.
I say, I would say Arsenal. I saw some good things with Jesus and the preseason games. And of course, I think I trust him more better than Lacazette. So looking forward to see what happens with these two London clubs. We haven't seen a champion there in a while. So hopefully sometime soon, maybe not this season. I think Liverpool's going to win it. Top goal scorer. We'll go with Garrett first. Who do you think will be the top goal scorer by the end of the season?
I mean, is it hard to say Mo Salah? I mean, Mo Salah's been the guy the past few years who's really competed in that. And I think Salah will be up there. I think Darwin Nunez will be very interesting to watch and see how he acclimates early on. I wouldn't be shocked to see a Harry Kane, Sonny. I think Sonny's one of the most likable people in all of the Premier League, so it's hard to really root against Sonny there. But also, I mean, you never know. Maybe a Man City guy like Grealish, if Grealish can really turn it on and figure things out. I mean, he has the talent. We know he does. It's just, can he figure out the system and kind of get acclimated to Pep's system? It's just, once again, I can't miss around. They can't beat around the bush. World Cup is going to be such a big thing. What if a guy comes in, you know, not crazy good form, but decent form, has an insane World Cup, and then from there just balls out in the Premier League. We don't know yet. That's, I think that's the mystery of the World Cup this year is going to bring, and it's going to be so fun to watch.
Yeah, and Mo Salah will not be in the World Cup, so this could benefit him. Andrew Evans, I know this is a tough question for you, but what is your gut telling you?
No, I think what you just said there for Salah and what Garrett's saying about the World Cup, somebody could get hurt, you know? It feels a little predictable in terms of the last few years, so I almost want to go out with a – I think it'd be a bit of a wild card. I think if Haaland finished the season top scorer, that would be a heck of an achievement. I don't think he will, but and actually, I was just looking at something last night. I had no idea that the third top scorer in the Premier League last year was Ronaldo.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, I didn't notice that. I knew he scored quite a few goals. 18? I was like, okay, credit to him with his age and everything. I mean, that would be unbelievable. But he's not going to be the Algo Salah, if you're making me decide. I think Salah will be the top scorer this year.
Garrett, Ronaldo, where does he stand in your pecking order for goal scorers?
Funny, you know, he got 18 last season. It seemed like a very quiet 18. Everyone was talking everything about what was going off the pitch, not on the pitch for him. Obviously, kind of going through some legal troubles, which we won't really touch on. But I just right now, I mean, he's in such a weird standing with his club. His agent's putting his name out there. There's rumors every day. It seems like he's going to a new club. Who knows right now? But I wouldn't. I mean, he could easily go out there and put another 18 goals behind in the bag. You know, people would be like, yeah, that's Cristiano Ronaldo for you. So I could see 18 to 20. I mean, he's truly one of the greatest footballers of our time. Truly.
Yeah. Sport Lisbon is the strongest rumor as of late. Andrew, do you think he stays in Manchester?
For now, I think the next month will be key. I think it all depends how we can connect with the new coach. If he can put up with being brought down a couple of pegs, which he needs to be at his age, he should be willing to do that for the team. And then he could have a really great season if he's willing to, you know, sit a few games out and just put, I don't know, just playing key games. But it's that whole attitude of not wanting to be subbed and stuff that has to go away, or else I think he's going to be on the plane to somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, he's 37 years old. It's not like he's, you know, the 28-year-old, you know, fiery guy with the gel all in his hair. Like, he's not that guy anymore, and he needs to. While he can still bag 15 to 20 goals a season, he has to realize that his body's going to limit him. No matter how great he takes care of it, Father Time's going to catch up with him.
Yeah. And also the football market hasn't none of the top clubs wants him. You know, PSG doesn't want him. Barcelona didn't want him. Madrid, of course, I haven't heard much from them. And then Chelsea, Tuchel, I've heard, just said, no, I don't want Ronaldo. Even though they need a striker, apparently. So it's quite interesting, the supply and demand, the age is, I mean, the age is there. And of course, you know, he needs to listen. Hey, I can't get into a Champions League club right now. So maybe I should start looking elsewhere to, you know, Sport Lisbon, maybe MLS, maybe playing for Saudi Arabia. I don't know. Anyways, we'll see what happens. He'll probably stay in Manchester, in my opinion. Top five standouts. Andrew recommended that question. We'll go with Andrew first.
Sorry, what are you asking?
Top five standouts for the Premier League this season.
Oh, things that will be like unusual.
Yeah, it could be players, it could be teams.
I think I'll just say one generally. I don't think the top four will be a surprise. I just feel like it will be a bit closer. That would be one. It won't be over by March, or, you know, just two teams going for it. I feel like West Ham are worth a look again. They've just bought Kone today from Burnley. I really like Bowen. I think Bowen is a really unsung player in the Premier League. Obviously, Declan Rice. I like Antonio. They got a good defense. Moyes has been around the block. He's still a good coach. And I don't think they're going to be top four, but I think they'll have another similar season. I think Nottingham Forest will stay up. I don't think the other two promoted teams will. That's just, I mean, I don't know enough about Fulham and Bournemouth. They could, but I think they'll struggle. I think Forest will stay up. I think they've been smart. They've bought well. That's three, right? I'll go for another outsider on goal scorers. I will say that, who's the boy at Villa?
Let me check him out.
He'll be up there on goals this year if he can stay fit. And I think Newcastle will knock on the door of top four, actually. I think they're going to surprise a few people. They got great momentum. They've signed well again. I think Eddie Howe is a great coach.
You're not talking about Danny Ings.
He walked out on Burnley, but he is a great coach. And he's just signed a new contract, so.
Okay, there's forwards here. Kanan Davis, not Danny Ings. I don't think you were.
No, Ollie Watkins. Him. Ollie Watkins.
Okay, there you go. Ollie Watkins. Yes, I think I've heard of him as well. Garrett, what's your top five standouts for this season?
You know, it's funny you mentioned Danny Ings because I think he's actually going to have a great season. That's actually the first thing I had down. It's funny you say that. I mean, look at it. I mean, the reason I said that, you know, I could easily say that as a scorned Southampton fan, but also, I mean, look at his first year Southampton, only bagged about four or five goals. And then that his second season was the year he finished top three in Golden Boot. So, I mean, we saw obviously a year in a system got him more comfortable. And he had flashes of it last year. I believe he had a really nice goal against Wolves, if I remember correctly. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see Danny Ings in top 10 scoring or maybe even like kind of borderline sixth or seventh. I will say my favorite signing of the whole cycle was not Darwin Nunez at Liverpool. It was actually Fabio Carvalho at Liverpool. About $6.5 million came from Lisbon, Portuguese international, about 20 years old or so, 21 years old. He is so versatile. He's a kid who can play midfield. He can play striker. He can play as a false nine, play out in the wings. They played him at like a six to an eight to a 10 to a nine. You can really just kind of put him all over the pitch and he does well. I wouldn't be shocked if he's a guy who just blows up and has a 10 and 10 season where 10 goals, 10 assists. I think that's going to be really interesting. Che Adams at Southampton, it's a contract year. I'm excited to see how he does. It's either going to be make or break for him. He's a guy who's had a lot of promise in the Southampton system, I believe representing Scotland for his national teams, or not Scotland, excuse me, Northern Ireland.
No, it was Scotland, I think.
Scotland? Okay. Hey, even
so.
Better.
I think so.
Yeah. Representing Scotland, he won't obviously have a World Cup spot, so I'll be interested to see how these players that don't have a spot in the World Cup this year do, and I'm excited to see how he does. Kyle Walker-Peters, another Southampton guy. I'm excited. I think he'll be one of the many exports you'll see in the next few years from Southampton. Southampton has a really funny way of getting these guys like Gareth Bale and Sadio Mane and then selling them to for years, and I think he's the next in line. He's a right wing back, can kind of play up in the pitch. If you want to invert him, put him in, score. He can also defend pretty well. And then Zikoko, I believe his name, the Arsenal signing, Ukrainian Arsenal signing from Man City. I think that was a great signing as well. He can play left back, but he's going to move probably into the sixth role for Arsenal. I'm excited to see how he does. And I guess one more hot take, it gets into the relegation talk, but I think there's a chance Leicester City becomes the Everton of this upcoming season. The only team in the top five leagues that didn't sign anyone this transfer window. Plus, they're probably losing James Maddison. So,
and they lost Kasper Schmeichel.
Exactly.
Have they lost him?
Yeah.
Where's he gone?
He went, I think, to – I'm not 100% where he went. I think it's somewhere in Europe, of course.
They've got a lot of players out of contract. I heard that too. And they've also got Nice. A couple of injuries going into the first game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, went to League One, and I heard Jamie Vardy might be leaving as well.
Yeah, that's the other rumor.
But yeah, Leicester. Andrew, you think Leicester might go down?
No, I don't think they'll go down. They've got too many good young players, but I can see the point. I think it's a bit of a worrying time for them that they haven't brought anyone in yet. Get through that question I keep saying to you, Santi. Why do teams wait so long to sort out their transfers? Like, same with Everton. They should have bought a striker by now. We don't know how that world works, but it just seems teams go into the season unprepared. I want to pick up something Garrett said, and I totally love Danny Ings. As you remember, he was really made his mark at Burnley back in the mid 2014-15. I think his only problem is fitness. If he's able to stay fit, he'll hit those goals every year. His problems have been injury. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic player.
Another question, you were talking about Southampton. What happened to Livramento? Did he go back to Chelsea?
I believe he did, yes.
Phenomenal talent. Saw him a couple of times last season. Phenomenal player.
I think Italian. He kind of solidified. Yeah, Italian by birth, solidified kind of our center, kind of played, moved around as a 6 and 8 because James Ward-Prowse is our kind of 6 and I love James Ward-Prowse so much, but he was kind of moving around all over the pitch. But defensively, man, he saved our tail so many times this past season. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, he had a good game when we played them in the 2-2. I remember watching that at the NBC thing in LA. That was the live event they did. Yeah.
Yeah, what's it called? Nice. Like the NBA, NBC,
yeah.
Premier League Fan
Fest. They're pretty good. Fest. If you guys get them close, I recommend going. It's kind of a fun. They do a good job at the whole occasion, and they give you free merchandise usually.
Yeah. Nice. I think they paid $2 billion for five seasons, so they better make it right. Anyways, this is a question for Garrett. Andrew's not very familiar with the American players, but which American player will do best in the Premier League? Of course, you got Christian Pulisic at Chelsea. Brendan Aaronson at Leeds, Adams at Leeds, Chris Richards at Crystal Palace, Jedi Robinson at Fulham, and Tim Ream, and then, of course, Matt Turner in Arsenal. I might be missing one player, but Garrett, which American will do best in the Premier League this season?
I mean, if you want to count the loanees, but those don't really count, guys like Zach Steffen and Ethan Horvath. But I mean, I can kind of go down the list because there isn't many guys and they're pretty easy to kind of say. Matt Turner, I'm very concerned about because Matt Turner will not be probably playing FA Cup, all that. Ramsdale will probably be playing and kind of keep him informed for the English national team, much to the chagrin of myself. But Matt Turner, I'm a little concerned about because he went from being our most played goalkeeper with most minutes to now he doesn't have a spot. He's now number two behind Ramsdale. And I don't see him upsetting Ramsdale and playing over him. Tim Ream won't play this year. Fulham, he's kind of eyes and vibes guy. If you kind of know, you know, he's kind of a guy who's just there along the ride to give the locker room a good, you know, vibe. Anthony Jedi Robinson, I love Jedi, but you know, he'll struggle. It's just very physical game. He's very speedy, so he could have a place, but I don't think Fulham's gonna do much this season. Chris Richards is who I really want to talk about. Coming from my hometown, Birmingham, Alabama. I love Chris Richards. He obviously didn't get the start today, but Crystal Palace already looked a little shaky on that back line. Patrick Vieira is a very smart guy. So I see once Chris Richards kind of gets fully acclimated, I'm sure I'll get a notification from FootMob in the next 20 minutes that he gets subbed on. But Chris Richards is a guy that I think is going to make Crystal Palace very happy. He's a very physical player. He loves to be physical, and that's something that you need in the Premier League. You need to be a physical defender. He's kind of a throwback guy. He'll go and slide tackle. He'll make all the plays he can, and he's pretty good in the air too. You know, he's only about 6. He's about 6'1", 6'2". He can make a lot of good plays in the air. Another guy, Tyler Adams, who I'm incredibly excited about. I think Tyler Adams is a guy who can easily be a guy who stays in Europe, maybe not with Leeds United, but stays in the English system just because of how physical he is and how strong he is. He's a guy, you look at him, you don't think he's much, but then he's kind of got that American dog in him, kind of got that Clint Dempsey attitude. As English fans, I see a smile there from Andrew. He knows what I'm talking about. You know, kind of that, like, you, yeah, very fantastic player. I'm really excited to see Tyler Adams. Brendan Aaronson, I think he's going to struggle at first coming from Austria Bundesliga. There's a big step up. He's going to struggle. Some people are saying 10 and 10 season for him. I do not see that whatsoever. I think a 6-5, 5-5 season for him would be perfect. And then Christian Pulisic, the man everyone kind of wants to talk about. I have no idea. I think Christian Pulisic might honestly have just a very similar season as last year, a borderline starter to bench rotational piece. And you know what? I think that's okay right now. I think it's good to have competition and guys that he's going to be pushed with. Sterling's going to push him. Mason Mount's going to push him. All these guys are going to make him a better soccer player. I don't like this idea that Americans should go where there's clear playing time at all times. No, if Christian Pulisic is truly the wonderkind that we like to put him as, the guy who's, you know, Captain America, he needs to be playing at the highest level and competing against the highest level competition. So yeah, I love Christian Pulisic at Chelsea right now, but it's going to be a struggle to get playing time. 6 goals last season. I would love to see 8-10. I think that's realistic with about maybe 4-6 assists. I think that'd be a really good year for him.
Yeah, I really agree with Christian Pulisic. I think he's going to have more competition this season than last season. So we'll see how it goes. But like you were saying, it's just good for him to, you know, just to push himself a little bit. Andrew, your thoughts on American players in England? Or
no, that's good. That's really good comments on him at Chelsea. I feel like that's not understood often by American fans. He's playing on an unbelievable team and he's playing quite a lot, not as much as maybe he should be sometimes, you know, but I feel like his performances for the national team have got better over the last couple of years. He's a leader. And he's become more aggressive too, which I like. I think that was a part of his game that was maybe missing. I've heard more on the two guys at Leeds, and I feel like the fact that they played in Europe seems to be a good entry level for, you know, coming right up to speed with the Premier League. If you think of players who've done, American players who've done well there, I mean, goalies have done well there, I mean, usually I think that's been the route. It was for Dempsey, I think. Donovan, not so sure. But Donovan was kind of already about 30, I think, when he played over there. I thought he was great. So I'm excited to watch them. I don't know a ton about them. I've just seen interviews with them, and they look like, you know. I think Marsh is going to maybe surprise people. I know there's always been this thing about American coaches. He did well last year. It wasn't an easy job to step into Bielsa's shoes. They were under pressure right away. He got him out of it. But, you know, he's got to start well. I think if they don't have a good start. And I'm just interested to see how those guys perform on that team. What difference they make.
Coach Ted Lasso, right? That's what they call Jesse March?
I don't know.
Anyways, we'll see what happens in this upcoming month for the Americans. Of course, goalkeepers as well were known, but I think we're seeing more field players. And I don't think Leeds are in the verge of relegation, but we'll find out in the predictions. Who's going to be the dark horse this season, Garrett?
I like Aston Villa. You know, once again, I think this goes a lot on Ings staying healthy. If Ings can stay healthy, I like Aston Villa. Decent transfer window, got some guys in. Plus, they just play a fun brand of soccer, football. I apologize. That is just that's just super fun to watch. And I think I'm not going to say they're going to finish, you know, top four, but I do have them over Man United. And I know we'll probably get to some good Man United discussions. But you know, they're once again a very confused team. So I think Aston Villa is going to be a side that's going to be very interesting to watch this season.
Andrew Evans, who is your dark horse for this season's of the Premier League?
Well, I mean, I mentioned West Ham. It wouldn't really be a dark horse, but to finish, what did they finish last year? Maybe seventh. If they could repeat that or better, that would be pretty impressive. You know, it's hard to do that season in, season out if you're not in the biggest. To me, they'd still be a dark horse. I mean, the dark horse for the title would be Tottenham. But that's the team I think will surprise a few people. I agree on Villa. It could go either way. I think Gerrard has got a lot to prove. In moments, they looked amazing last season, and then they nearly got themselves pulled into the relegation scrap again. So it's really make or break for Villa this year, and it could go either way.
Speaking about Villa, I believe he played. No, I don't think he played at Villa. Yeah, he did. Christian Benteke to DC United. Andrew, your thoughts?
Is that just now?
This afternoon.
Well, I think I told you about a week ago, things are going to shake up a little bit there with Rooney. Interesting timing on that because, you know, he was linked with a few English jobs. Good for them. Good move bringing him back. I don't know if you saw the game last week. They instantly, like, 1-0 down, 90 minutes gone. Classic Rooney game. And they win 2-1. They brought Ravel Morrison too. He's going to score a bag full of goals in the MLS as long as he can stay fit.
Garrett, your thoughts on Christian Benteke to DC United MLS?
I mean, anything can help DC United. They're one of the worst sides in all of the all of the MLS. I mean, yeah, I mean, they have – the thing is what's crazy about DC United is their team is terrible, but if you look at their youth system, they have like 18 kids, about 18 kids that are all like in the youth national program. So their future is bright. They just have to get to these next few years of just kind of not having a lot of talent. Losing obviously Kevin Paredes, who was a very good player for them, over to Wolfsburg, but I do like the new manager. I think he'll be fun. Rooney's obviously much well loved in DC for how he played and just his brand of soccer, and one of the most physical players you've ever seen in the MLS. I'm excited to see how he does. I'll be rooting for him to do well. There's they have one kid who I'm excited to watch. He'll be probably going over to DC United in the next year. So Christian Fletcher. He's been linked to Dortmund, Man United. Christian Fletcher, though, he'll be probably playing in the MLS his first few seasons to get a little action under him before he goes over to Europe. He'll be one to watch.
Unless something else happens. Anyways.
Let's hope not.
But Rooney will draw players. I mean, that's already a great coup for them, bringing somebody like that in.
Of course, he does have that clause, Andrew, that he's able to go to a Premier League team if they offer him a job. Oh, wow. So
two steps ahead,
right before the playoffs. Hey, you know, Derby County or maybe Burnley wants him. Boom.
No, we won't need him.
Well, we're towards the end of the show. This is where we predict the top four and the bottom three that will get relegated. We'll go with Garrett first. Who would be your top four in your?
I think we all have probably the same top four, just maybe different order. I have Liverpool, Man City, Tottenham, and then Arsenal. Chelsea was just outside that, and I think it's going to be one of those things last days decided. You know, I don't think it's an indictment on Chelsea, but more so a plus to how good I think Tottenham and Arsenal are going to be this season. But I still think there's going to be a major gap between Liverpool, Man City, and the rest. My relegation, I really wrestled with this one because I feel like the first two, for me at least, were pretty simple. Bournemouth and Nottingham Forest, I just thought, even though I like what Nottingham has done this offseason, I don't trust them. They're kind of yo-yo teams. But so then it kind of came down to three teams for me: Brentford, Fulham, and Everton. And I have no backing of this. I just want Fulham to stay up because Fulham America, and I love Clint Dempsey, and I would love to see Jedi stay another year in the Premier League. So I'm going to say Brentford. I think losing Christian Eriksen, while he didn't contribute much goals and only one goal, four assists, I believe, I think losing him is a big deal in terms of just heart and soul in the locker room. We'll see. Once again, it's going to be hard to predict just because it feels like two seasons at this point with the World Cup being in November.
Andrew Evans, you gave me mine offline earlier this week.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar. I'd go with the same top three. I just put Chelsea in fourth, not Arsenal. And at the bottom, it is a tough one. And because it's tough, I'm just going to go with Fulham and Bournemouth to go back down because that's kind of been the way things have been the last few years. The third team is really tough, and I don't really want to pick them, but I'm going to go with Brentford. They had a terrible spell last year from about December till March where they were awful. They didn't win a game, but then they kind of came back at the end, and a lot of that was to do with Eriksen. And I'm just wondering. And I've made these predictions in the past, and they go horribly wrong because there'll be a couple of new guys that you don't know today, and they end up being great. But I'm going to tip them because I just can't see Palace going down. Leeds could struggle again, but I'm just betting on them to get enough. I don't think Everton are going to struggle as much. I think I said that earlier. So Brentford are my third. I can't really put anyone else there. I don't think Southampton will be going down this year, even though they also had a bad second half of the season last year. They've too much. I think their coach is a good coach. He'll figure out a way with some of the young talent.
You had Southampton earlier this week, though.
I don't think I said them to go down. I think I was saying they could be. A lot of people are tipping them to go down, but not me.
And you had Liverpool winning.
Yeah, Liverpool are going to win it.
Yeah, so I had Liverpool, Man City, Tottenham, and Chelsea in fourth. And the bottom three, Brentford, Nottingham Forest, and
so we go the same, Santiago.
Southampton, yeah. Liverpool's going to win it.
You won't be sending me my predictions in November saying, look. You.
Well, yeah, which is what Andrew says. These things could change, especially with the World Cup middle of the year. As Garrett said, a lot of variables there. Bigger variable with the World Cup, I believe. So we'll see what happens. Any closing closing thoughts on this season, Garrett?
This isn't really a closing thought, I guess, on the sense of like, oh, some crazy Liverpool prediction, but I think we'll have one more American in the Premier League by the end of the season. January windows, we sell a lot of guys, and I'm interested to see who would be. I don't have the first clue of who will be, but I just have a feeling there's going to be some heavy. Remember how it was around August? It was around January where Aronson was starting to get linked over to Leeds. I think we're going to have the same situation. Some American that we just haven't thought about yet is going to be linked over to Europe or to England.
Andrew Evans.
Well, as you know, Santi, my eyes are on the championship a lot more this season for obvious reasons. One thing I've realized, because it's 6 years since we were in the division, if you actually watch some of the games and look at some of the teams, it's a real shop window now for Premier League players. There's a lot of players who make that stop on their way to the Premier League. A lot of great English players, but not only, a lot of great French, European, African players. One thing I'm noticing is how many quality midfield players are in that division, almost one on every team. And if you think of players like Bowen, who came up to West Ham, and Watkins at Villa, and obviously Danny Ings, a lot of these guys, Jamie Vardy, that's where they really hit the ground running. So it's a good place to watch tomorrow's stars. You can get a lot of, and you know, ESPN Plus does pretty good coverage. Just, I think last weekend they had five games, and it's a good division to watch. So you might see some of those guys moving up also in January, but I'm just fascinated with it because, you know, the changes that I've seen at Burnley with Vincent Kompany coming in, and just the football is amazing. It's really, really good to watch. So
Yeah. Isn't company.
I can watch the Premier League without having a heart attack every week.
There you have it. Predictions. Liverpool. No, Liverpool at Fulham. What do you got, Garrett?
I mean, Liverpool. Fulham, listening to their manager talk, he's still really concerned about their roster. They haven't had anything crazy, any crazy big signings besides building a brand new, I believe, West Stand, some $100 million West Stand they're building in their new stadium. At their stadium, it'd be nice if they maybe put that into the roster, not into a stadium upgrade, but it is what it is. Liverpool 3-1. Maybe Fulham. They have, I can't remember the striker's name, but they have a striker who kills at the championship, but then goes up to Premier League and can't bag. But
oh, yeah, that's Mitrovic. Season.
Mitrovic. Yeah, he kills in the championship every single year.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, 40, and then he's going to score probably just four this coming season.
Who do you got, Andrew?
Yeah, I go 3-0. Easy win, 2 or 3-0.
At the cottage, Craven Cottage. Southampton at Tottenham, Garrett.
I mean, it's so hard for me as a Southampton fan to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna go in there and win. We're not. 2-1. Maybe James Ward-Prowse is a screamer from like 30 yards out, but 2-1. Harry Kane, Son, just too much talent.
Andrew, Southampton at the Spurs. Yeah.
Tottenham won a lot of games, like just by like 1-0 under Conte. They're not like, I think it'll be a win 1-0 or 2-1. Yeah.
Week one predictions. Chelsea at Everton. Andrew.
Now, this is a tough one. I think you're going to learn a lot about Everton tomorrow. Like that was a tough stadium to go to at the end of the season. They got it for two more years. Anything could happen in that. I feel like there's a chance of a surprise. I'm going to go 1-1.
Garrett, we'll see a Raheem Sterling goal.
I agree with you, Andrew. I think it's going to be a 1-1, and I think every Chelsea fan account on Instagram and Twitter is going to be screaming for someone's head, whether it's Pulisic to Werner, if Werner is even still there, to Raheem Sterling's the worst signing ever. You know how Chelsea fans are. They overreact about everything. So, 1-1.
Well, Brighton at Manchester United, Andrew.
Another fascinating game just because of what will United look like. Brighton were great at the end of the season, losing a couple of people now. I'll go like 1-0 United. Maybe they'll just eke it out.
Garrett.
Well, both teams want to possess the ball insanely hard. You know, Brighton's been a team that I believe they finished top five in possessions past season. Man U, I think, was just outside. Ten Hag's going to want to do that as well. I say 1-1, and once again, I think another Man United fan meltdown. I think you'll see Mark Goldbridge screaming from the heavens how upset he is.
They're going to give him time because they just know they've got to.
They got to fully rebuild. They got to take the ship apart and rebuild it, to be honest.
Manchester club to play. Anyways, Man City at West Ham. Andrew.
Another tough one. I mean, this could be a potential – they lost the first game last year, didn't they, at Tottenham City? West Ham, a lot to prove. I'll probably go for a draw again, like 1-1. But I have a feeling that City won't win this game.
Same colors as Burnley. Garrett, Man City at West Ham. Will Haaland score?
It's going to be close. I don't see Haaland scoring, but I do see a 1-0 result. I think it's going to be a fun one, though. Kind of a last second, like, is Man City down? This is going to be a down year for them. And then they score near the 87th minute with some incredible shot by. Yeah, it's going to be something crazy. And it's like, okay, they're Man City.
Like, they could also win like 5-0, but.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, there you have it. Week one of the Premier League, the best league in the world, I say. And it's going to be pretty exciting. I'm looking for Liverpool winning. Darwin Nunez, see what he does. Garrett, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about American players in the Premier League?
Yeah, follow me, Garrett_Franks on Twitter, GARRETT Frank_Franks on Twitter. Talk a lot about college football just because of where I am and what I do, but also talk a lot about American players, USMNT, obviously the World Cup year. You're going to get a lot of USMNT content. So if you love that, feel free to follow me.
Andrew Evans, I know you're not much of a social guy, but I mean, social media guy, but what is the best way to reach you online?
Well, we actually just started a YouTube channel this week, and I don't even know what it's called. So,
search Andrew Evans.
Andrew Evans. There we go.
I have no idea.
Now I'll get it for you. You can put it in the show notes. We're just launching it, so we're going to do like a little bit of content like this and just have some fun and talk to fans. I really like talking to fans. You learn a lot about teams through people who watch. And yeah, I've also got more of a passion for like the lower divisions than the US system, but I do want to know more about the US system. It's important.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew Evans knows Premier League, Championship, and I think League One, I guess you're very familiar with?
A little, not as much as years past, but yeah, who the teams are for sure.
Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter, thesportscast1, also Instagram as well. And of course, we'll be live tweeting some of the games this weekend. Looking forward to it. And of course, NFL preseason going on. And this is Andrew's channel, Evans Family.
There you go. It's got other stuff on as well. But that was our little talk last night, previewing some of the games and the predictions league. Yeah, we have
the Burnley away jersey too.
That's an old one.
It's like the third kit.
No, it's the second kit from about 2016. But I like it because we haven't had a yellow one since then.
Well, there you have it, Evans Family. I'll leave it in the show notes.
And anyways, mention if people want to join our predictions league, Santi. It's not too late.
It's not too late. Week one is a bye week.
Yeah, we can give them a bye week and give them some points. They can come in next weekend. We do 12 games a weekend. There's always 9 or 10 Premier games, and then 2 or 3 just add-ons, Championship, La Liga, whatever. We just find those games, and it's pretty tough. It's tough to win it.
I almost won it last year, but I came in second or third, I believe. I don't remember.
Yeah, you've down at the bottom the first few years, and you've been
trying to get myself promoted to the Champions League. Anyways, thanks guys for coming on. Cheers and enjoy the Premier League.
Great to meet you, Garrett. All the best for the
season. Absolutely great meeting you too. Good luck.
And this was your update.
Let the Saints go marching in.